Praise God. How's everyone tonight? Blessed and what? And highly favored. How do you know you're highly favored? The Word of God says so. We're in for a nice treat for the next few meetings. Let me just share something with you. How many of you know that if we were all lawyers, right, we would all meet in the convention, right? And what would lawyers do when they meet in the convention? Talk about the law, right? If we were all doctors, right? And if we met in a convention, what would we talk about?
Medicine,
right? If we were teachers, right, educators, what would we talk about? Educators, right? We talk about education, right? But who are we? We are believers. So guess what we're going to talk about?
Believing,
amen? You got it? Make it nice and simple, okay? What I want to do is we're going to jump right into this, but what I like to do is I like to start with a confession. Is that okay? Y'all want to join in with the confession with me? Say this with me. Say, I stay steady
during these unstable times.
Regardless of what comes my way,
God's way
is my way.
Each day,
I renew my mind
with the Word of God.
I walk in love.
I stay in faith.
I am a doer of the Word of God
and not a doubter.
Oh, I left some. No, wait a minute. Hold on. Time out. See, here's what happened. I say this every day. I do. I say this every day. Okay, hold on. Okay.
No matter what comes my way,
God's way is my way. Okay. Now, here's where I'm hooked here. I am a doer of the Word of God.
And not just a hearer.
In all situations,
I respond
in love and faith.
When the negative issues of life
come against me,
I am not afraid.
My heart is fixed.
My heart is established
in God's holy word.
I take the time
to examine myself.
According to 1 Corinthians,
chapter 11,
verses 28 to 32.
And I am quick to repent
of anything I find out of order in my life.
Now unto you, Heavenly Father,
who is able to do
exceeding
abundantly
above all
that I can ask or think,
according to your power
that's at work in my life,
I know
that the best days of my life
are ahead with you.
Everything that you have promised me,
you are able to perform.
I believe it
and receive it
in Jesus' name.
Now, do you believe that?
Amen.
Then it's yours. Amen. Now let's turn in our Bibles to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, the Gospel of John chapter 3, because we don't begin any session without reading this. And while you're turning there, I just want to take this time to thank our pastors for this opportunity to stand before you, the special people of God. Amen. God's anointed. That's what he always told me. He said, when you stand in this desk, you're standing in front of my anointed. You see, everybody thinks the other way around, like the guy up there is anointed. Well, I am, but you are God's anointed. And it is an honor to stand before you and share the living word of God. Amen? Everyone at John chapter 3? Let's read verse 16. I'm reading from the King James. Please read along with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, listen to what it said. It said God did what? God so loved. But who did he so love?
The world,
right? God so loved the world, so what did he do?
He gave.
God so loved. Now, listen, this is where we miss it in Christianity when we talk about preaching the gospel. That's the gospel. God so loved this world. See? We need to tell this world, God so loves you that what did he do? He gave. But what did he give? He gave heaven's best, his only begotten son, right? Now, there was a condition for that. What was the condition? That whosoever what? Believes in what? In Jesus, right? But now, listen to this. Here's another thing I want you to share with people. And this is where some people have trouble with this. They need to believe the love that God has given them. They need to believe that God loves them. See, because once we can tell the world, once we can tell those that don't know God that God loves them, it opens up a whole new avenue. Because they've been told by the enemy, you know, you're bad, you know, you're no good. You know, after all, look at those people. But God so loved the world that he did what? Gave his only begotten son. And the condition was what? Whosoever does what? Believes in him, what's going to happen? They shall not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Now listen. You know, everybody wants to go out and witness, right? That's all you need to know. See how I shared that? It's all you need to know. I can talk to anybody, anywhere, anytime about that. And you know what? That's the gospel. Amen?
Amen.
All right, praise the Lord. Now, what we're going to talk about, and Deacon Shirley, thank you so much. You kind of set the table for this. We're going to be talking about a series that I'm calling The Christ Life, The Victorious Life. Let me say it again. The Christ Life, The Victorious Life. You know, too many of us as believers are living defeated lives. Maybe not here in this church, but we've heard of believers living defeated lives. I got news for you. It makes no difference what you're being confronted with. It makes no difference what you have to deal with. What I want you to do and what God was encouraging me to encourage you, always look at the situation and circumstances that you're being faced with. Look at it from the vantage point of being the victor, not the victim. You got that? Does everyone understand it? So when the enemy tries to bring symptoms on your body, don't look at it as, oh, I'm under attack. What did I do? I didn't confess enough. That's not the issue. The issue is this. Will you stand in that position of being the victor and saying, by his stripes, I'm healed? When you're in the middle of trying to find that next job, okay? You hear what I'm saying? When you're in that place of trying to find that next job, although you may be considered unemployed, but I want you to know this, that with the Father God and the kingdom of God, you are fully employed. So don't see yourself as a victim. See yourself as what? A victor. We are victorious in Christ. Amen. So we're going to talk about the Christ life, the victorious life. Amen. Now tonight, what we're going to do, we're going to take an area. We're going to look at this area. Now, we're going to look at an area of faith. We're going to talk about faith tonight, because how many of you know that without faith, it's impossible to do what?
Please God.
Now, how many of you want to please God? All right. Now, turn in your Bibles. This is not in my notes, but turn over to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And let's see what the Apostle Paul had to say about this. Romans chapter 1. Is that clock supposed to be moving? Because I see it at 40. It's been 40 for a long time. Okay, I'll have to go with something else. Okay, look at chapter 1 of Romans, verse 16. Is everyone there? Read it with me. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is what? The power of God unto what? Salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Verse 17, read that. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith to faith, as it is written, what? The just shall live by what? Now, how is the just to live?
By faith.
And who are we? So how should we be living?
By faith.
We want to please God, right? So if we want to please God, what do we have to do?
Live by faith.
So you see, it's not an option. See, some Christians think, well, that faith stuff and all that stuff, that faith, you know, I just want to have love. I don't need faith. I just need love. No, we need the whole kit and caboodle.
That's it.
I need love too. We want love too, because faith works by love. Everyone got that? But we're not to live, the Bible didn't say we live by love. Now, some people think that way. Remember when you was growing up? Oh, we'll just live on love. Remember you fell in love? Your first boyfriend or girlfriend? Oh, we'll just live on love, right? But then what happened a month after that? The bills got due, right? So you weren't living on too much love anymore, right? All right, but we are to live by what? By faith, okay? So now it's important that we understand that, right? Now, Paul says it this way. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, look at verse 8. I'm reading from the King James. If you have another version, you can follow along with me. Now, notice what Paul says here in Ephesians. He says, "For by grace you are saved through what? Through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is what? The gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So now Paul is saying it this way. He says, by grace you were saved, but what? Through what? Faith. Through faith. So in other words, faith was the important component that brought us to salvation. Everyone got that? All right, everyone understands that? So in regards to salvation and ushering us into the kingdom of God, we got into the kingdom how? Through faith. Everyone got that? Does everyone understand that? All right, now, follow this. Jesus Christ is a resident. He is through faith, right? Let me say it this way. Salvation, we were ushered into the kingdom of God through faith, right? In Christ, say this with me. Say, in Jesus Christ.
I am a resident
of the kingdom of God.
Now,
we're residents in this kingdom, right? Now, think about it this way. Paul says it this way in 2 Corinthians. Don't turn there, but just write this down for your notes. We are ambassadors for Christ. Now, what is an ambassador? Who can tell me what an ambassador is? What? A representative. But in how? What way? What does an ambassador do? He represents what? He represents the country or the kingdom that sent him. Now, does the ambassador live abroad? He does. He lives abroad. He doesn't live at home. When I say abroad, I mean not a female, okay? He lives out there, okay? Now, that's why some people got quiet. But an ambassador lives in another country. But where does he get his sustenance from? From the country he's in? Where does he get it from? From his country that he represents. I remember we went to the Bahamas, right? And, you know, we were in Nassau, and, you know, you drive down to Nassau. How many have been to the Bahamas? Oh, good. A lot of you. Wow. It's better than the Bahamas, right? But how many of you drove around, and, you know, they got these buildings and everything, and they all look pretty much the same. As we were on this bus, and then the guy made the turn, he said, "There's the U.S. Embassy in the Bahamas." Now, I love people from the Bahamas, not making fun of it. But the other places had like a little bit of grass, a goat, maybe a little pig, or, you know, looked like the paint was peeling off of the huts or the buildings. But when you saw the U.S. Embassy, green grass, manicured, white building that was painted freshly. So in other words, what I got when I saw that, I said, wow, that represents the United States. Now, listen to this. We are ambassadors for Christ. We are to get our sustenance. We are to have our existence. And we should look like the country, or in this case, the kingdom that we represent.
Yes.
Everyone got that? Yes. So in other words, if we were to go into the schools and we are Christians, we are ambassadors for Christ, don't you know our children should stand out?
Right.
On the job? You should stand out in your community. You should stand out. Now, I'm not saying we're exclusive, because we want to reach out to people and minister to people, right? But we, as ambassadors for Christ, are representatives of who? Of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. Say that. Say, I am
a representative
of the kingdom of God. Now, here's something that we need to think about, and this is where we're going. I'm going somewhere with this, okay? So, in other words, our support and sustenance comes from the kingdom of God and not here. Everyone got that? So that's why I don't look to the government for my help. I don't look for the job that I'm currently on or the jobs you're on or the union you're a part of or your retirement fund. Don't look for that for your support. Okay? But we are representatives of the kingdom of God. Amen? Now, what we're going to look at tonight, turn to 2 Peter. This is what we're going to look at tonight. Because you see, we're talking about our faith, right? We're talking about we are ambassadors for Christ. Well, you know, what happens sometimes is, you know, in this walk of faith, and when I talk about the life of faith, I'm talking about faith as being a lifestyle. Does everyone understand that? I'm not talking about it being a biblical topic. You know, you look in your concordance and there's a whole bunch of scriptures on faith. I'm talking about incorporating faith in your lifestyle because we are Christians. So we have to incorporate this into our lifestyle. Amen. Everyone got that? Now, turn, everyone at 2 Peter? I'm not there, so wait up for me. 2 Peter chapter 1. We're gonna look at something here. And let's read verses, we're in chapter 1, let's read verses 1 through 7, amen? Everyone got their Bible?
Yes.
If someone doesn't have a Bible, let them look on with you, please. And read it from whatever translation you have is good, but I have my King James Bible, so that's why I'm reading it from the King James. Okay, let's read. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us, through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, hold it right there. Who is Peter writing this letter to? Who's he writing it to? Believers. The church, believers. We have like precious faith. Now, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through what? The knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Verse 3. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Now hold it right there. God's divine power. Another name for that is his anointing. God's anointing has given us what? All things. Say that. Say God's power. God's anointing has given unto me all things that pertain to life and what? And godliness. Now, here's what it did not say. God's anointing has given us all things. See? Because all things aren't always good. There are some things that are not good. But he's given us what? All things that pertain to what? Life. Now, hold it right there. Life. So smoking cigarettes don't pertain to life. It shortens life, right? You know, taking a hit of crack is not pertaining to life. Drinking Johnny Walker is not pertaining to life. That's killing your liver, right? Everyone fall? So all things that pertain unto life and what else? And godliness. So think about it this way. In your own personal life, things that you want to do, things that you want to be involved in, ask yourself this question. Is that pertaining to life? You know, me joining in with that, will that enhance my life or godliness? And we're going to talk about that later. So God has given us all things that pertain to what? Life and godliness, right? Okay, let's keep on going. Through what? The knowledge of him. And who's the him? Jesus. So through the knowledge of Jesus, we're going to learn and we're going to see all things that pertain unto life and godliness, right? Now, keep on. He didn't stop there. Of him that has done what? Called us. Who called us? Jesus has called us to what? Glory and virtue. Verse 4. Whereby is given unto us what? Exceeding great and precious promises. Now hold it right there. This is not even my lesson, but I just can't get past this. He's given what? To us what? Do you know what exceeding means? What does exceeding mean? More than you were thinking about. So think about it this way. Deacon Shirley alluded to this in giving. We always think about what we have and say, man, well, you know, it's all I got. And the truth, you're thinking about what you have. But do you know what? On the other end of that, on the other end of your need, and that being the seed, on the other end is the harvest. That's where the exceeding is. The exceeding's here. See, the exceeding you don't see right now. Your exceeding you don't see right now. But you know how we get to that, you know how we tap into that exceeding? By faith. But now God has given us all things that pertain to what? Life and godliness. He also has given us these exceeding great and precious promises. Now my A student is in here somewhere. I saw him and her come in. What are the exceeding precious promises? Told you my A student came in here. God has given, hold up your Bible or hold up your phone with the tablet that's got the Bible in it. This is the exceeding great and precious promises. Every time you download and take a look at that, you are partaking of God's exceeding great and precious promises. Every time you read your Bible, you are partaking of God's exceeding great precious promises. Amen? Now let's keep on going. Now we have that, right? By these you might be partakers of what? His divine what? So where's his divine nature? In us. So look what he says here. Divine nature having doing what? Having escaped the corruption that's where? Through lust. So that's why I'm not surprised. Listen, I'm not surprised. You turn on the news, Washington's in chaos. You turn on the news, Tokyo's in chaos. London's in chaos. I got news for you. The world's always going to be in chaos. The world is going to always be in chaos. So me and you praying about the chaos in the world is a waste of time. Now, what we have to do is we can, because we're in this world, we can take authority over the things that's in our area and in the world. We can take authority over those as the church. Everyone see that? When Jesus walked the earth, who was the power? Who was the world power when Jesus walked the earth? Rome, right? And the Romans did, and it was the Romans' law, right? Did Jesus succumb to the Romans' law? Were people following Jesus because of the Romans' law? Why were people following Jesus? Because he was a representative of the kingdom of God. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because God has anointed me. You hear what I'm saying? Church, don't be moved by what you see on TV. Don't be moved by what you're hearing going on in the earth, going on in governments. Remember our confession, stay steady during what? Unstable times. Let's keep on going. Amen. Now, listen, we've escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust, right? Now, look at this. Verse 5. Read it with me. And besides this, giving what? All diligence. Now, when we talk about all diligence, that means you're going to have to work at this. Everyone understand that? This is not going to fall on your lap. We're going to have to work on this. We're talking about our faith, right? We're going to have to work on this. Now, listen to what he says. Besides this, giving all diligence, do what? Add to your faith what? Virtue. And to virtue what? Knowledge. And to knowledge what? Temperance. And to temperance what? Patience. And to patience what? Godliness. And to godliness what? Brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness what? Charity. Now, hold it there for a minute. He's saying that we have to add these things to what? Our faith. So tonight, what we're going to talk about briefly, we're going to talk about where's it at? We are going to talk about faith's essential companions. Faith has essential companions, and Peter was talking about them there. Amen? Now, let me ask you this question. How many cooks do I have here tonight? Who cooks? Wave your hand like that. Okay, now, how many of you make chili? Okay, now let me ask you this. With chili, name one of the ingredients you put in chili. Chili powder. Chili powder, what else? Beans, what else? Rice. Rice. Someone said rice over there, man. Okay, hold on. Okay, he puts in rice in his chili. What else? Beans, rice, what else? What else? Onions, what else? Someone said over here, what? Meat, right? What kind of meat you put in your chili? Chopped meat, turkey. I put turkey in mine, okay? So what else you put in there? Someone said chicken? Okay, chicken, chili, okay. What else? Tomato, what else? Peppers, what else? Green peppers, what else? Garlic, somebody got garlic. Chili powder. Okay, that's cool. So now, are you hearing what's going on here? When we think about chili, right? Chili by itself has to have some ingredients. You would agree? Now, depending on where you're from or what you're accustomed to. Some people like to put rice in their chili. Nothing wrong with that. Listen, he said put rice in the chili. Some people like to put turkey, ground turkey meat in their chili. Some people like to put beef in their chili. Some people like to put chicken in their chili. Ground chicken, okay. And some people put something in there that we don't even know what it is in that chili, right? Right? But the point I'm making is this. Everybody has chili, right? But there are components and ingredients that go into the chili. And when you put those all together and you let it cook for a while, what do you get? Chili, okay. Now, think about it this way. In our walk with Christ, right? In this walk with Christ, there are some components that we need to add to our faith. Now, let's look at the first one here. What does Paul, what Peter say? He said, giving all diligence, add to your faith what? Virtue. So now think about it this way. Faith's necessary companions. So with your faith that you have right now, you need to add what? Virtue. Now, who can tell me what virtue is? What is virtue? I know this is not a philosophy class, but what is virtue? He said power. What is virtue? It's integrity, excellence. How about you, Donovan? You know what virtue is? Okay. I'm just checking because I thought he's looking down in his tablet. Anybody else? Virtue. This has got to be added to us and we don't know what it is. Well, let's go. Someone said it back there. All right. That's another one of my A students back there. You heard him? Now, in the Greek, the word virtue there in that text is the word arete. That means excellence, moral, doing something in excellence. Now, how many of you, now don't look left to right, but how many of you have seen people operate in excellence, right? And there's something about when someone operates in excellence, right? How many of you have seen people who don't operate in excellence? It shows up, right? Real quick. Now, think about this. Look what the Holy Spirit is saying through the Apostle Peter. Adding to our faith, what? Excellence. Moral excellence. See, here's what happens. And I've been in this church. I've been in the Word of Faith circles for over 30 years. I've been at this church for over 30 years. I've seen people come. I've seen them go. And some are still here. Praise God. But I've seen them go. And you know the ones I've seen go? They hear the message of faith. They get all turned on. Oh, you mean tell me I can believe for a car? I can believe for a house? I can believe for a spouse? And when they get the car, house, and spouse, we don't see them no more. Okay? But also, and then if they don't get the car, house, and spouse, we still don't see them no more. Okay? Because we have to learn to add to our faith what? Excellence. Excellence. Now, that word arete that I just told you, if you look it up in Strong's Concordance and V.E. Vine's dictionary, if you look that up, it goes a step further. It says when applied this excellence, it translates over into something else. And it's the Greek word dunamis. Everyone got that? Turn to Mark chapter 5. And I had to look this up. Turn to the Gospel of Mark chapter 5. Mark's Gospel, the 5th chapter. Now, we're familiar with this passage, right? We're familiar with the account of the woman with the issue of blood, right? But in Mark chapter 5, the 30th verse, look at the 30th verse. Because the woman touched Jesus. Remember, she was in the crowd and she touched him, right? Now, look at verse 29. It says, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, right? And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague, right? In other words, she did use her faith, right? She said, if I could touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole, right? But now look at verse 30. Can you read it with me? And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that what? Virtue had gone out of him. Did you hear that? Jesus knew virtue came out of him. Now, we in our minds, real quick, we make this quick association. Well, that virtue had to be the anointing. And it was. But if you notice here, the writer kept it virtue. You know why? Because everywhere Jesus went, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to heal the sick. So as Jesus was going, remember when Jairus said, go heal my daughter? He was saying, the Spirit of the Lord's upon me, the Spirit of the Lord. So when that lady touched him, she touched him in faith, that virtue that was in him, that anointing that was in him was dispensed. Believe, brothers and sisters, I'm telling you right now, there is an anointing in you that if we will operate in excellence, and I'm talking about church now. Now, this is going to get a little uncomfortable. See, sometimes some of us, it's not that you got a badge on your name and you got a title that means you're operating in excellence. No. What it means is an attitude of the heart. And endeavor. Now, notice what excellence is not. Excellence is not trying to be a perfectionist. Everyone got that? None of us in this room are perfect. I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. You make mistakes. But don't you know that God uses us in spite of that? But I'll tell you what I do. I endeavor to always give God my best. I don't give him sloppy seconds. Everyone got that? So we have to add to our faith what? Virtue, right? All right, now let's keep on going. Let's turn to the next one. Now, when we add to our virtue, when we add to our faith virtue, what else do we have to add? Okay, let me turn there. Hold on. I had to turn away. So we have, when we add virtue, what's the next thing we have to add? Knowledge. Now, we're making an ingredient here, right? Think of it that way. So if I'm operating in excellence, I'm operating in my faith, I'm operating in excellence, I'm operating in, what's the next one? Knowledge. Now, the Greek word for that word knowledge, it doesn't necessarily mean head knowledge. It doesn't mean head knowledge. It means another type of knowledge, okay? And let me give it to you here in the Greek. The knowledge that he's talking about here in the Greek is called gnosis. Gnosis. What it means is this. Knowledge through association and relation. Remember it says in the Bible, and Adam knew Eve? And what happened? Had a child. Now, if you read that literally, you think, oh, Adam knew Eve. They went like this. They went head to head. And they had a kid. No, that didn't happen. But it's talking about a relationship, a fellowship, right? A relationship with God, right? Now, think about it this way. When we are operating in a relationship, what happens when you have a relationship with a person? What happens over a period of time? You get to know them, but what else happens? And now we're going to do the love connection, right? No, it develops intimacy. You see, knowing of someone and then spending time with them develops an intimacy. God wants to have an intimacy with us. You can know God. I mean, you can know him personally. And I think that's the most important thing that every Christian needs to know. You need to know God for yourself. Now, I'll give you an example. My youngest granddaughter, Deja, she came up to me. She looked at me. She said, what's your name? So I told her, I said, my name is William. She looked at me. No, it's not. I said, my name is William. She said, no, it's not. I said, what do you mean that's not my name? What is my name? Your papa. Now, here's what I'm saying. That's because of the association, being around me and hearing, oh, papa, and I also spoil her. So now all it is Papa. She don't know William Floyd. She don't know Elder William. She don't know none of that. All she knows is Papa. Don't you know the Bible tells us that we call God who? Abba. That's the Hebrew word for what? Papa. Papa. See, so this is what I get a little concerned about with Christians too. I don't need to know Jehovah Sikindu, Jehovah Rapha, all this Makadish. There's nothing wrong with that, but here's what I'm trying to say. That was God revealing himself to the Jews. You understand that? It's like my children coming up to me and saying, oh, Mr. Floyd, oh, Elder William, oh, William Allen Floyd. I look at them like, are you crazy? What's wrong with you? They call me Daddy. Okay, because that's who I am. Same thing with God. We need to develop a knowledge, a relationship with God that we know him as Abba Father. And you know what happens when you know him as Abba Father? You know what pleases him. So that you don't have to go through these religious rituals that I see some people go through. Did I sin today? Father, forgive me. No, I'm not making fun of people. But that's religion. When you have a relationship, I can be talking to Robert right now. We could be in Met State, City Field, watching the Mets play, and I may say something, oh, God, forgive me, Father, forgive me. And we're going back to the game. That's a relationship with God. So I don't come to church to hear God. I hear God all the time. I come to church because he told me to come to church. And we fellowship with one another. Amen? So we're to add to our faith virtue. We're to add to our faith what? To our virtue what? Knowledge, right? Spending time with him, talking with him, creates that, developing that knowledge with God. Amen? Now, the first place we need to start, if we're going to want to know more about God, we need to know more about who? Jesus. That's very important. So that's why I tell every Christian, you must know Jesus. Jesus says, if you know, if you see me, you've seen the Father. Amen? All right, so now we're to add to our knowledge, and what we're to add to our knowledge? Temperance. Oh, everyone say temperance. Now, listen, that word in the Greek, temperance, is the word ekrits. It means to be strong in a thing. Okay? To be masterful. To be self-controlled. Everyone say self-controlled. Amen. So in other words, let me give you a definition of what he says here. In the dictionary, it says it this way. It says the various powers bestowed by God upon men are capable of abuse. Every one of us, if left uncontrolled, has a weakness. Everyone got that? If all of us were left uncontrolled, we got a weakness. Now, some has some in this area, some has some in that area, right? But now, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, you don't have to turn there, but the Word of God says, but the fruit, one of the fruits of our recreated spirit is what? Temperance. So think of temperance as masterful control. So it goes back to that old song. Remember the old song by the Four Tops? Can't help myself. I love you and nobody else. No, you can help yourself. Everyone got that? So we can help. So there's no way I can say, oh, man, I couldn't help myself. You know, when I went past that buffet table, I ate everything in the buffet. Oh, I couldn't help myself. When I went to the Golden Corral and ate myself, oh, I couldn't help myself. No, yes, you can. You can help yourself. Everyone say masterful control. Okay, so in other words, we're talking about having control, right? It's very important. See, here's the thing we need to remember. And even in the things that we're doing for God, now I'm moving into this area, you know, the gifts of the Spirit, and we want to flow in the gifts, right? We all want to flow in the gifts, right? But see, here's what happens with some of us that want to flow in the gifts of the Spirit. We don't know how to control ourselves. And sometimes we're doing something in the wrong place at the wrong time. Everyone got that? If you're in a public place, okay, I'm not going to jump up and shout out in tongues. I mean, I'm just being honest. I mean, I'm not going to do that in a public place. You know, I'm not talking about the church. I'm talking about a public place. Like I'm in the library. I'm not going to jump up. Shandurabasandarekes. No, I'm not going to do that. You're going to have to control yourself. So even if the anointing comes on you to pray, you excuse yourself. You walk out, go away from that, and then you pray. Amen. Got that? Everyone got that? So we need to have temperance. Amen. Now, with the temperance, we're to have what? Patience. Now, that word patience in the Greek is a word called hoopome. In other words, what it means is this. I don't pronounce the Greek very well, but here's what it really means. Patience that we're to have is what's called cheerful endurance. Everyone say cheerful. Endurance. How many of you seen people that you knew they were going through something and they were enduring, they were bearing down, but their face kind of gave away that they weren't happy, like, how many of you seen people like that, you know, suffering for the Lord, right? They're suffering. I'm suffering. And, I want to make sure that you know that I'm suffering. I'm suffering for the Lord. No, but that's not cheerful endurance. See, here's what it is. Each and every one of us has been, you're going to get, if you haven't had already, an opportunity to exercise cheerful endurance. And I'm tell you this, you'd be surprised how many times we all have to exercise cheerful endurance. Right now, some of you are exercising cheerful endurance. Like saying, when is he going to be through, right? No, but I'm just telling the truth. Sometimes, you know, you just... But what we're saying is, it's the divine... Now, let me give you the definition of this. The divine ability to endure any and all things. You got that? We have... Say that. I have the divine ability to endure any and all things the enemy may try to put in my path. Do you understand that? So some of you, you know, it may be one area here. Others, there's an area here. But we have the divine ability to endure it. But how are we supposed to endure it?
Cheerfully.
So let me see a smile on everybody's face. Let me see. Okay, I see you over there. She's got, oh yeah, she smiled. She put her head down. Go over there. He's not smiling. Oh, he's smiling now. Okay, good. So we are to have what? This cheerful endurance, patience, right? Now, I like to think of it this way. 1 John chapter 4:4 says this. Greater is he that's what? In me than he that's where? In the world. So if you're in a situation, whether it's your job, home, church, things are going on, where's the greater one? He's inside me. So I don't allow what's going on the outside to affect what's going on the inside. Everyone got that? So when you turn on the news, and that's why I'm going to harp on the news. If you watch the news long enough, I guarantee you, I don't care what channel you turn to. If you give the, what's that radio station? You give me 10 minutes, they'll give you the world. 10-10, right? 10-10 guarantees you, if you give them 10 minutes, they're going to give you what? But what is in the world, though? Corruption. What is in the world? Strife, fear. So if you listen for them for 10 minutes, they're going to give you strife, confusion in the world. Everyone got that? So now, here's what we're saying. We are to have cheerful endurance. The greater one is in us, right? Now, we're to add something to our patience. Do you see that? What do we add to our patience?
Godliness.
Now, everyone's got a good definition of godliness. What's godliness? Let me read it in the Greek, okay? The Greek word for the word godliness in that verse is the word isublia. Now, what it means is this: God inside directed. So we are to be what? God inside directed. Now, another translation says it this way: God inside minded. Being aware of God inside and being directed. Being aware of God, that God is in you. As I said earlier, I don't come to church to meet with God. I meet with God when I wake up in the morning. I meet with God when I'm driving down the road. I meet with God when I'm sitting in that job. I'm meeting God when I'm meeting with clients. You know, why? Because he's in me. Christ in you, what? The hope of glory, amen? Now, and here's an interesting thing. If we practice that and become more and more cognizant of that, more aware of God in us, that'll change some of our behavior.
That's right.
If we were to put a camera on some people and just follow them out and they leave the service, you know, get in the car, you know, one of those reality shows, you know, just follow them where they got to go, you'd be surprised what we'll see, right? But if you're God inside minded, if you're God inside directed, you won't get involved in certain things, right? Amen? I hope I'm not losing anybody here, right? Now, once again, being aware of God, that he's inside you, doing what? Directing you, right? Now, Psalm 37, verse 23 says it this way. The steps of who? Of a good man or a good woman. How many good men and good women I have here tonight? All right, all the hands should go up. Your steps are ordered by who?
The
by the Lord. Amen. And he delights in your way. So now, getting this all together. So we understand what godliness is, right? What are we to add to godliness? What?
Brotherly
kindness. Now, the Greek word for that, everybody knows, is what? It's a city.
Philadelphia.
So that's love. And there's no, if you look at Philadelphia, sometimes there's no love in Philly, right? And they let you know that right away. But Philadelphia means brotherly love. Now, here's the thing I have a little challenge with sometimes when I hear Christians. I'm talking about Christians. When I hear Christians say this, I'm concerned. Or I can't stand him. I can't stand you. That's, what do you mean? You hate your brother? How can you hate your brother? Oh, I love God, but I hate my brother. No, you can't do that. But we are to have love for one another as brothers. Amen? Everyone got that? Everyone understand that? Now, and I share with you that you know, a step out of love, when the moment you allow yourself to say, I hate them or I can't stand them, then that's a step out of love. And a step out of love is a step into sin. Everyone got that? So that's why we cannot afford. I don't care if someone gets on your nerves. If someone gets on your nerves, practice what? Cheerful endurance. Look him in the face. Say, amen, it's good to see you. Praise the Lord. How are you, sister? God bless you, sister. Cheerful endurance, right? I'm not being phony. I'm enduring. She's trying to get on my nerves and trying to do things to get on my nerves, but I'm smiling. I do that to some people sometimes here in the church. I'm smiling, taking them by the hand, walking them right out the door. Yeah. Oh, you don't, you heard that? Yeah, kind of. So anyway, but what I'm saying is we have to have love for the brethren. Amen. Everyone understand that? That's very important. We have to add that. This is one of the necessary components to our faith. Amen. Now let's look at another one, okay? Yeah. And the last one is what? Now, what's another word for charity? What kind of love? The God kind of love. So charity there really means love, but the God kind of love. And how does God love? We said that in the beginning of our message. He loves unconditionally, unreservedly, and he loves sacrificially. See, God sent his best. So when we operate in that love, the love of God, I'm not thinking about myself. I'm thinking about the benefit of others. I'm thinking about others. And that's what we're to have with our faith. So now let's put this all together. We're to add to our faith, what's the first thing? Virtue. Excellence, right? We're to add to our faith excellence. What's the next thing? A knowing of our relationship with the Father, right? We're to add to that knowledge what?
Temperance.
We are to be what? Self-controlled, okay? In other words, control yourself, right? And what's the next one?
Patience.
We are to be patient. We are to cheerfully endure, right? And what's the next thing we're supposed to add to our faith?
Godliness.
God inside minded and directed, right? And what's the next thing we're supposed to add?
Brotherly
kindness. Love for the brethren. You got that? And then what else are we supposed to ultimately add to us?
Charity.
The love of God. Now look at verse 8. Are you there? Turn to verse 8. He says, for if these things do what?
Be in you,
and not just in you, but what do they do? And abound, they make that you shall be what? Neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Did you see it? You see the ingredients? We talked about chili, right? But notice how we put it all here, how the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Peter, adding these components to our faith, these necessary companions, makes us what? Not barren. You know what barren means? Empty. What does unfruitful mean?
Unproductive.
So ask yourself this question. Do you want to be unfruitful and non-productive? Or do you want to be fruitful and productive? So we have to allow these things, we have to add these components to our faith. Has everyone got that? Now notice what it said. You have to add them to your faith. God is not going to add them for you. I'm not going to add them for you. You have to add them for yourselves. Amen? Praise God. You got the lesson? All right, now on Sunday, that's the end of this lesson. But I want you to come. How many of you coming back Sunday? Okay, good. No. Or you can watch the stream. On Sunday, we're going to talk about the Christ life, the victorious life. We're going to look at another area, okay? So I'm not going to tell you about it now. So I'll tell you about it Sunday. Amen? God bless you. It's a pleasure to share the word of God with you. I hope you gain something. And I think before we stop, I want to ask this question. Are there any questions about what I shared tonight? Any questions that you have? Please feel free. I want to take a few moments. Because I know I kind of shot things off real quick, but we want to make sure that everyone understands the lesson tonight and can understand something. Or if you have a question or a comment, Does anyone have a question or comment? Everyone got it? You really got it? You heard it? Okay, praise God. God bless you. All right, amen. I'm done. I'm going to unhook right now. Praise the Lord.